And good evening. The time is 6 o'clock, and you're tuned to WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio, listener-supported community public radio. And this evening, it's my privilege to, I guess we're turning the tables on the folks this evening. Normally, George Miller and Kate Scuffle are in the Lehigh Valley Art Salon chairs interviewing guests from across the valley about their arts. And this evening, we're going to talk about one of their projects, something that I was discussing it earlier. It was kind of circadian. There's people coming over here and people coming back. And
you need a map to track it all.
A Venn diagram. Well, we had a diagram going earlier, yeah, that's which true. Was sort of helpful. you folks and your Selkie Productions for mm-hmm. years have had this great love relationship with the Emerald Isle and taking projects here, mm-hmm. taking them over there, bringing projects from there, from the people, the artists that you know there, and bringing them here. And this summer you were doing directing again. You've done directing in the past, but you had a chance to direct a production over there.
And, oh, yes, and a great deal of here? Yes, a great deal of them. We are very, very fortunate. Of course, we have had a love affair with Ireland for a long time. And I think this exchange program, not that we haven't done Irish plays in the past with the former theater outlet, but as Selkie Theater was created, the first piece we did wasn't a commissioned piece, but a piece that was written by Peter Fallon, a very well-known poet in Ireland, who had written an adaptation of Kavanagh's Tarry Flynn. And we performed that at the Ice House here in the United States as a premiere. And at the same time, the play was published in Ireland.
Crediting Selkie as
as the creator of it. So that's how it all started. The latest, we can talk about many of them, but the latest production was Terminal Hip that we took over for the Galway Fringe Festival. It's subtitled A Spiritual History of America Through the Medium of Bad Language, and I'm very good at that, so I knew how to direct it. It hadn't been a problem at all, since I know bad language.
And that's the Mac Wellman play, right?
Exactly.
Well, you've got a nice relationship with him as well. I recall a number of his fascinating, enigmatic plays where you kind of come out and go, yeah, what just happened? I mean, at least for me personally, I mean, the
We did Fanu Lanu.
Well, yeah, Fanu Lanu, but then there was also one about the macaw, right?
Hyacinth
Macaw. Yeah. That was the one where I came out and I was like, I mean, I like it. You're exercising parts of your brain where you didn't even know you had brain, but you kind of come out and go, where's he going? But what's great with him and with what you do is that, and what really comes out with is that love of language.
Absolutely. He is somewhat, they saw him with Terminal Hip. They saw him because it's gibberish. It truly is an unusual piece.
Poetic.
They saw him as a cross between Samuel Beckett and James Joyce. I mean, that's how severe his work was.
I was going to say, Irish audiences, of course, one of the things that's delightful about producing or making theater with and for Irish audiences and artists is that, even much more so than in the States, you know, it's just considered part of daily life. Everyone goes to the theater, you know, everyone enjoys it. You can do anything in a room with 10 seats and everyone shows up. You know, there's always an audience. And they're open, you know, to things. It's Wellman's so much about language that they were just really, really open to it. In fact, Parrish Hurley, who's credited as being the actor, and it's a one-man show, Lehigh Valley audiences would tend to know as Stephen Parrish, who worked with us at the Theater Outlet and at Selkie, Parrish Hurley being his equity name. Parrish was in a couple of those productions you saw of Wellman, and he has a love of Wellman's work mm-hmm. as well, and came to George and said, you know, I'm just really taken with this piece. I would love to do it. I would want you to direct it, and I want us to go to the Galway Fringe. And that was over, you rehearsed it over about a year almost.
Yes, we rehearsed it here in the United States. He'd come down from New York on the weekends at least once during the month, and we would rehearse Saturdays and Sundays. And then we took the whole gang over to the Fringe Festival, which included Karen Walia, who was the assistant director for me. She was with us, and of course, Parrish and Kate and I. And we went to Galway, a place that we're very familiar with, and we're fortunate enough to perform there.
What's really nice, too, is it's interesting. When you look at the whole team, the music was composed by Mike Rizoukas, our favorite here in the Valley, from Zen for Primates, and his own compositional work. And the poster and the graphics were designed by Julie Miller, an artist who we met initially back in the Theater Outlet days. Through Julie's working with Selkie, she now is designing all the posters and websites and things for Irish companies like Jasango in Ireland. So, and Lisa Daly, of course, took the really stunning pictures. You were asking about Lisa earlier. Lisa Daly is a Muhlenberg graduate who came to us maybe 10, 12 years ago at the outlet as an administrative intern. She got her dual citizenship. She moved to Galway. When we went and lived there for a few years, we made theater together. She's been coming back and forth on a lot of these journeys with us as well. So she took the photos for this one. Last summer, George had the good fortune to direct a play for the Galway Fringe Festival that featured Lisa. They rehearsed here. It was produced by Jasango, who are our sister company in Ireland, but we didn't get to go. The difference this year is we went to go and play. So, but it's a young Fringe. It's a relatively new Fringe Festival. It's connected to the Galway Arts Festival, which is a magnificent festival. And it was just thrilling to be, you know, Galway. What's its nickname? The Graveyard of Ambition?
Yes.
It's, it's so wonderfully distracting. You never write that novel, but it's, you know, you love it. There were several festivals going on, artists from all over Europe there. It was just really exciting to kind of, you know, to take over the American contingent this time.
Ken Michael, Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, speaking with George Miller and Kate Scuffle, Selkie. Parents, so
I guess we could say that.
Yeah, and it's just great. You've had this great transatlantic. It's not even a love affair. It's like you might as well be commuting. You create art here, take it there. You take artists from there that are dramatists, and bring them here.
Mm-hmm.
You had that the great play. At least it was one at Celtic Classic a few years
Bombshells,
back.
Stunning. Thank you.
And, now you've also done another. You had another project besides the theater piece this summer. They asked you to come over and help them direct.
Yes. There are several projects that we have going. Of course, one of them, while we were already there, doing Terminal Hip, was a radio program, a radio script for actually. It's the first Scripps Festival, I think, in County Offaly.
Yes.
This year.
It's a playwriting festival.
It's a playwriting festival, and it was open to all playwrights from all over Ireland to participate in. They had a submission of a radio play from a young Dublin woman, and Angela read this thing, and everyone was telling her, no, don't touch this.
It's a little
this.
Harsh.
Don't
little
touch
shocking.
This. It's a very controversial, very shocking play.
Beautiful
about
language.
A rape. It happened in a nightclub, and it was so expressive that everyone just said no. Well, when I read it, I thought, wait a minute, there's something.
She loved it.
There's something more here than the fanaticism or the fear and the terrible feeling you have when you hear about a rape. There's something more there. I saw that, and I told her that I would direct it. So, indeed, I did direct it, and then it was done at Midlands Radio. And RTE is certainly interested in looking at it because it is so powerful.
It's interesting to explain for the viewer that when you mentioned Bombshells, the show that was a Celtic Classic, and to give credit where credit's due, what's lovely is Jasango Theater produced Bombshells, but that's Angela Ryan, our friend and actress, who we worked with in Galway, and it was wonderful to be able to bring her and her company over. Love the play. We kind of bounce back and forth more than most with Jasango and Angela. And so we were there, as George said, with Terminal Hip at the Fringe, but we were there for 2 weeks. And so when Angela called George and said, I'm really taken with this piece, I just really want your input. Once they decided to work on it, took the train up for 2 days.
True, yeah.
And they rehearsed kind of round the clock. Angela's expecting, which is wonderful, but she said, but I can do radio drama. and went in, recorded, processed. It's a gorgeous, it's 15 minutes long. It was broadcast, its premiere was last week live. We heard it live, actually, which was wonderful. So there's talk, perhaps, that another way we can work, given the ocean between us, is maybe exploring more radio drama like that. It's exportable, it's taped, you can share it around, you know.
A thread running through all of this that I'm catching is that the love of the word is one of the most important things, one of the most important glues. And it's certainly the case in anything Mack Wellman does, that the word, and not that the words strung together in order to make a great, you know, contemplative piece. He's mm-hmm. in love with the word.
Yes,
true.
Exactly.
How they sound out
exactly,
in the room
yes.
and how they work together. And this piece, it sounds like the most important thing that jumped out to you was
the word,
the power of those
yes,
words.
Yes,
absolutely.
And for Parrish, I think, and I'll turn it over to you, George, yeah. as the director, but for Parrish, too, the marathon of it, it was about just under an hour long.
Yes.
This river of language to learn and then to tease out rhythm and meaning and, you know, to make it as captivating as it ended up being.
Yeah, and I think you could title it an absurd piece, you know, just the way Beckett's pieces are to some extent. And it's very difficult to follow it like a play that's linear. Because this isn't.
You treated it like music, one
absolutely.
Of the two of you.
Yeah, we really compared it to a symphony or to classical music, where they weren't scenes, they were movements. And each movement had its own rhythm, its own pattern, and its own design. So it could take you from one place to another simply by changing whatever the particular movement was.
Does it take a special kind of directing to do that kind of thing? I mean, it's when you're directing and it's lots of scenery and a set and gorgeous costumes, and that's one way of, or one type of play, but is it a different kind of directing? Do you have to put on kind of a different director's hat? Is it almost more, you know, your old days of radio and television production, and that you have to kind of look at it with those kind
you
of
do.
Eyes and ears to direct
yes,
it?
Yes, it's almost serendipitous when things start to happen within the structure of the direction and the actor, because the actor can take it to a different place as well. You're absolutely right. It is a different kind of directing. It's not a pattern. It's not a regular
not a scene.
No, it's not a scene. Yeah. No, it's so. And I enjoy it tremendously because it does give you strengths so that you can expand what you're doing and change it.
What is it? What do you listen for? What do you look for in that kind of a production?
I look for actually the surprise value. I guess that could be true of an Agatha Christie novel or play, but I look for the surprise that comes to a person when it is revealed what exactly is that particular movement about.
And you, in this particular piece, you and Parrish work through a lot of different almost personas, different voices. Not quite different characters. Well, different characters within the same narrator.
That repeat themselves. They come back once in a while.
To give it some texture, you know, variety. And then Karen Wall, it was just interesting. Karen's background is in extensively in improv and physical theater. And a lot of once you two had crafted the story or where you were going with the play, Karen would come in and they'd do a lot of work together, fine-tuning the physicality of each persona. That kind of thing. You know, what movement is available within what you're doing as a one-person show.
Yeah.
So it was a really wonderful collaboration.
Absolutely. And the title itself is kind of enigmatic, is it not?
I love the title.
Terminal Hip, as opposed to...
Intriguing, though.
Yes,
intriguing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Speaking with Kate Scuffle and George Miller, the founders of Selke Productions, and talking about Terminal Hip, talking about radio plays, talking about... being on RTV, perhaps. This is Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. You're tuned to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. My name is Ken Michael. I'll be back in a moment.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Sovereign Performing Arts Center, announcing The Barefoot Contessa coming to Reading. Ina Garten, cookbook author and star of Food Network's Barefoot Contessa, will be sharing her tips, stories, recipes, and answering audience questions Wednesday, November 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Sovereign Performing Arts Center in Reading. Tickets at the box office, Ticketmaster.com, or 800-745-3000. For program support on WDIY, we thank Kutztown University Presents, featuring a new season of diverse entertainment with their grand reopening Tuesday, September 10th, with dance troupe Momix performing Botanica. Momix is a company of dance illusionists who have entertained audiences for over 25 years using light, shadow, props, and the human body. Details at kutztown.edu/music.
WDIY Allentown. My name is Ken Michael. This is Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, and our guests this evening are Kate Scuffle and George Miller, and talking about Selke Productions, talking about theater here being produced over in Ireland, talking about theater in Ireland being brought over here and presented courtesy of Selke, talking about Selke and their sister production company, Jusango Theater, over there. And
I was just going to say another connection, too, that I'm not sure if we ever... A little over two years ago, Selkie, with the help of Karen Dolan and Alex Mill, did a green play festival, a celebration of new short environmental plays. And Angela Ryan of Jusango joined us for the last weekend in the States and actually read a monologue of the piece. Went back to Burr in County Offaly, the Burr Theater and Arts Center, and proposed that we do a similar festival there. And we, in Gaelic, or in Irish, electric cow is Bolitric. And so we did the Bolitric Festival about 2 years ago in Offaly. And that was a wonderful collaboration. George and I went over. Angela was there. Lisa Daly was there, the usual gang, working with Midlands Irish artists and new playwrights. And that was a wonderful, wonderful success. And that's what kind of led to the Scripps Festival that's happening there now.
Now, I know you initially wanted to go over there just to soak up the culture and be in Ireland for a few years, but was it also theater that was that initial nudge, initial impetus to make that journey across the water?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes, that's yes. Because of our love of Irish theater and plays, being there, we saw firsthand some very original and unusual pieces. And we thought we would love to do that in the States. And that's probably what gave us the idea about doing this exchange between Ireland and here.
I think the conversation, we know this, the conversation is always really interesting when, yeah, you go to Ireland and think, I have dual citizenship, I'm going to move there, I can work, we'll do theater. And you get there and you think, so what do two Yanks have to bring to Galway? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got a great art scene, an amazing city. So, ironically, we ended up, there aren't a lot of call for Americans on stage, per se. You know, I'm not going to attempt an Irish accent. What happened was we kind of fell into doing a lot of new work with George directing. I find there's a lot of, there was a real tradition of playwriting, acting, but before the economy got very good, there wasn't a lot of money floating around. There weren't a lot of people making a living directing. There's just not a lot of them. So, it was lovely, and we started something called Selkie Sessions, the playwriting salon, which we're still doing here in the States, and kind of found a niche where we could contribute. But what was really wonderful was there's something wonderful about being new again, about being the stranger. It puts you on your toes. You pay attention in a different way. It was like being a student all over again.
Keeps those acting muscles sharpened.
Yeah, and even just the cultural differences, because I think because there's so many of us Irish Americans, we tend to think of Ireland as the 51st state, and it's just like us, and it's not. You know, just like any place isn't. Once you go and go deep, it's a different place, and I'm not Irish. I'm Irish American, and I was a stranger, and it wakes you up. Ping Chong said to us once when he would feel stagnant, creatively stagnant, he would get out a map or a globe and close his eyes and take a pin and stick it somewhere and in hope that it would be someplace so exotic and frightening to him that it would wake him up.
Our next pin is the Czech Republic. We've been to the Czech Republic, and of course, many of us know the plays by Václav Havel, but the Czech Republic would be a prime area to start exchanging ideas and plays as well.
Oh, George, I see the wheels turning. You've got ideas for encampments everywhere, I'm suspecting. Well, it's a nice exchange. It's not just a simple couple of Yanks went over there and began doing theater. You've got this great exchange going now you brought over a play and that you brought a play back, or there's communication exchange between the two theater companies. That it's much more than just being a tourist with some acting cred.
Yeah, true.
We're hoping to see more come of it, too. I mean, it's interesting. We're working a little bit I'm working with Celtic Cultural Association on the Education Committee and throwing ideas around there's a young man named Sean Leonard who just won a big poetry slam in Galway. He's a real up-and-coming writer, poet, playwright. He just got into graduate school in the University of Nevada, so he's over here now checking out the casinos. And we're hoping to bring him out sometime in the coming year here to Bethlehem and do some, you know, poetry work, performance poetry with an Irish bent. It doesn't have to just be plays and music. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to go with it. The Irish Film New York Festival is coming up in October. We're hoping to go up and check that out and find some pieces to bring back here.
And I'm going to give ourselves a plug, if you don't mind, because when we sit on the other side there, we don't mention it. But it's www.selkietheater.org. and you can find out all about what we're doing, what's being planned. Because we moved into a new farmhouse now, we have a couple other ideas
and we're
plans.
We're thinking of doing farmhouse. The farmhouse may become a new venue.
Yes, it may be.
It'd be like house concerts.
You could house have concerts, absolutely.
House theater, absolutely.
Plein air painting on the grounds.
So we're planning some of those things now. But you can find out by just going to selkietheater.org. Or join us tomorrow night at the farm with
Selke Sessions.
Selke Sessions.
7 o'clock. They're open to the public. We're actors, theater artists, playwrights,
poets,
or
writers.
Just writers. We do readings. It's kind of a salon. It's a wonderful circle. I won't bore people. I'm sure they don't have a pen and pencil. But if you look up Selke Theater online and find our webpage, the info's there.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Facebook and Twitter. We're so 21st century.
Mm.
but it's out in the Allentown area along the Jordan Creek. And there's possibilities. We'll be coming back to you with a fundraiser. Harvest Fest is coming to Bethlehem October 12th. Looks like we'll be doing an event up at McCarthy's, which will be the new pub, McCarthy's Pub, soon.
The play that was on last week is there a record of it out there?
Yes.
Is there a way of going online and finding it?
We heard it live just last Thursday when it premiered. I'm not sure if it's on the station at the moment. I think what we're going to most likely do is get the file, attach it to our website, and we'll keep our listeners updated.
We'll see what we can do, yeah.
Yeah.
So people that want to help contribute to the Selke cause and find their niche in the army of Selkies as your...
Yes,
what
yes,
you
very
want?
Much.
New projects besides that, this idea? Do you have something new in the works besides the, not that you're not terribly busy with all these other things, but what's next coming down the highway for Selke or for yourself, George?
Were you at NAC?
Yes, well, at the present, I'm directing Heinrich Ibsen's A Doll's House, but there is an Irish connection. It's adapted by Frank McGinnis,
the Irish playwright.
That's going to open on November the 25th at Northampton Community College. I work with students there, and they're really a fabulous theater department. It has grown since I've been there. I've been there, 3.5-4 years.
Yeah.
And it has grown tremendously in that period of time. So we hope that you come out and see their productions. They're going to be doing Rent actually next.
First, right?
Yeah.
Well, I remember you had the play not too far long ago about the cigar workers and the people reading to them.
And so in the tropics,
the tropics.
Yeah.
And I think that the idea of the farmhouse concerts or the house concerts and then house theater, we'll be developing that. We're talking right now with a couple of friends from the old Selke and Outlet days who'd like to form a committee of support and brainstorm. Again, we'd welcome visual artists, dancers. There's a couple acres of grounds that are beautiful as well as the big house. And so if folks have ideas or want to get in on the ground floor of starting to put together programming like that, we want to be there for the community as much as anything else.
But I do love being in the Lehigh Valley, and that's why we came back from Ireland, one of the reasons. I'm very blessed because I am also dabbling in a bit of photography or on canvas, and I'm showing at an exhibit at Penn State Gallery at Center Valley, and I created a character because of the bridge.
The 8th Street Bridge.
The 8th Street Bridge is 100 years old on November 17th, and Alec asked me to submit a painting, what I did was create also a character that... Is being
an Irishman that worked on the bridge.
Yeah,
Kel Sapree.
So those are the little projects that I do that I'm just in enjoy the Lehigh Valley,
as well as going
to Ireland and the Czech Republic.
Actually, what's interesting too, and this is, it is arts funding is tight and all the rest of it. One of the things that struck me again on this trip back to the fringe, we haven't been back to Galway per se since we moved back a few years ago. So it was a big reunion. It was wonderful to see old friends and colleagues. It's interesting. People would love, they love Beth. The folks that we've brought over all love Bethlehem, particularly. Eager to come over, writers and poets and folks that we know working with the university. People keep saying, so when are you bringing us over? I'm like, I'm trying to find a way. And I think if we can create that kind of network between Selke, Celtic Cultural Alliance, the universities, the rest of it, it'll just enrich the community. It doesn't just have to be something Selke brings over and produces solely. Partnerships, I really think, are the way to move forward with this too and grow it.
Yes, very much so.
This is the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. My name is Ken Michael. I've been speaking with Kate Scuffle and George Miller of Selke Productions about their many wondrous productions of plays here, plays there, plays over there. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I want to thank them very much for coming in and speaking about their latest projects. You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio, 88.1 FM Allentown and Bethlehem, 93.9 East in Phillipsburg, 93.7 Fogelsville, Truxtertown, and worldwide in Galway, in the Czech Republic, at WDIY.org. At the movies, coming up next.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
It's the end of the world as we know it, to quote the 1987 R.E.M. rock song, and I also was feeling fine until the end of the movie, The World's End. Then, as in so many movies nowadays, it seems all apocalypse breaks loose and The World's End ends in fire. Ice would suffice, to quote the 1920 Robert Frost Fire and Ice poem. Instead, The World's End director Edgar Wright, who also directed Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, loses his cool. The World's End misfires and goes up in flames. Wright fills the third act of The World's End with a conflagration that not only engulfs a quaint English town and countryside, but consumes the film's storyline. What could have been a comedy classic gets torched in the flames of special effects. Up until that point, movie maven Mike Gunkowski and me were remarking at how The World's End was another classic from the droll British wits who brought us Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. The Morden humor, nonplussed looks, flat delivery, and rapid-fire dialogue are all there, and it's great fun, again, to a point. In The World's End, Gary King, played by Simon Pegg, organizes a pub crawl to recreate the one that he and his friends took in June 1990 before they went their separate ways to careers, wives, and domesticity. King, who seems to have missed the memo about growing up, corrals his four mates, Andy, played by Nick Frost, Stephen, played by Patty Considine, Peter, played by Eddie Morrison, and Oliver, played by Martin Freeman, into returning to Newton Haven in England to have a pint at each of a dozen or so pubs, including the final stop, which happens to be named The World's End. You might call these five blokes reservoir grogs. From one pub to another, the salt of success is poured into old wounds, especially when a former paramour, Sam, played by Rosamund Pike, shows up. There are hijinks aplenty. The gang bemoans the starbucking of their old haunts. The boys get more than they bargained for when the town's residents seem, well, just a little bit odd, almost as if they are from another planet. Indeed, the lad's former classroom teacher, a very good Pierce Brosnan, confirms their worst suspicions. We won't play spoiler by revealing more of the plot. Screenwriter Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright seem to have lost the plot. Either they ran out of ideas or time in fashioning the screenplay, or the marketing gurus urged them to appeal to the fanboys and gamers' world of mayhem. That's too bad. For a time there, it seemed The World's End would not end so predictably. The World's End is MPAA rated R for pervasive language, including sexual references. Opening September 20, Prisoners. Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Viola Davis, Mario Bello, and Melissa Leo star in a crime thriller about a father who becomes a vigilante in an attempt to locate his six-year-old daughter who has gone missing. Battle of the Year. An international dance team contest is the storyline for the musical starring Chris Brown, Josh Holloway, Laz Alonso, Josh Peck, and Katie Lotz. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.
And the time is 6:30. You're tuned to WDIY, Allentown listener-supported community public radio.